The average age of active service members is 19. That's also the age of the first mental health break or psychotic break, right? And then we're also in a pressure cooker called the military, another level on deployment.
At militarycreatorcon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.
Hey, Kimberly. So
Hey,
nice to see you.
Mara. How are
I'm
you?
so glad you're here. I'm great. I'm great. I'm super glad to be with you. I think it's an amazing opportunity for us to get a little time to talk before the conference because you are going to be one of the MCs. So you're going to be
Yes.
awfully busy talking up a storm.
Yes. That is
Yeah.
my life's desire. I love emceeing events.
Oh, really? I want to hear more about that. But first, let's introduce you, if you don't mind, to everybody who may be watching, because they don't realize that you are an incredible visionary, an educator, a storyteller, a creator. Like, you do all kinds of things. So I'm just going to pass it over to you to give them a little bit of your background.
Sure. So first of all, we have to say I am a veteran.
Yes.
I am a veteran. I served in the Army as a mental health specialist, and I was an elder at 22 years old, serving Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, second rotation. I am an entertainer and an artist. I do performative storytelling. As well as the educator part of it is I'm a health educator. I'm a health public health educator focusing on social, emotional, spiritual health, as well as I help creative mission-driven leaders get clear on what they're building, articulate their value, and move their work forward in a way that people can actually understand, support, and invest in.
Well, I think those are extremely important things to do. And that's very, very, very aligned with what we do at Military Creative Con. So we're very, very pleased to have you. But what I really want to know, because now you've got me curious, how have you integrated your creative side and the health side?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I thought I invented something that's called arts and health, right? And then because I was going through my own experience, they call it postpartum depression. I don't know, whatever. It didn't look like traditional postpartum depression. But what I knew was, I have my first child and I needed help and everything that public health should have been able to do, and my friends that are veteran moms and licensed mental health specialists, they couldn't help me. So I just was like, I guess I gotta go it alone. What I started doing was posting like satirical apology letters to my kid because I know I'm ruining your life. They were called like Dear Elijah. And I would write something kind of like, I'm almost sure I wasn't supposed to give you that cookie off the floor, but I did it before the dog ate it and daddy didn't see. And I would sign it, unfit parenting. Unfit
That's cute. I
parenting.
like that.
So I did that. I did that for the first year and a half, 2 years of his life and me being a mom, becoming that new person called mom. And then
Right.
when I felt like myself, I stopped. And then everybody that was not liking it, not posting it, not sharing it, all of a sudden, so this is in 2012 before all the things, right?
Right.
They were like, what happened to your notes? Those were great. I shared it with my friends. It helped me navigate being a parent, all of this stuff. And I was like, but y'all didn't say nothing.
Right.
And what I did not know that I was doing public health work that I would do when I was facilitating group, and I was sharing my story. And it was around the time the Me Too campaign started. And so the idea that somebody has to be brave enough to go first and say, this happened to me,
Right.
for other people to say, me too.
Right.
So what fast forward from that, I thought I invented art, meeting public health. Fast forward, a lot of things I won't go into. Fast forward, I was like, well, I got to put it out in the world and I don't know how to do it. So a veterans entrepreneurship program came up at the University of Florida. I ended up getting a second master's in entrepreneurship, venture creation, and still didn't know how to do it. but I met a very good friend that is a pioneer in the field of arts and health when she was doing her PhD in public health. And I learned how to do it. I learned how to do it and became like the face of that field, arts and health.
That's amazing. I love that you didn't even realize you were creating impact, and yet you were so mm-hmm. powerfully creating impact that when people didn't have it anymore, there was a longing. So mm-hmm. that it's of course the way things go, right? We don't realize potentially all the people that you are impacting, and just knowing sometimes that there's one can sometimes make the difference between continuing or not, right?
Absolutely.
But when you know that there are people, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, I got to do something.
You didn't say thank you. You didn't like what's yeah. going on here? But it does. It's a good lesson for every one of us creators to know that you don't necessarily have to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's a silent impact. And it makes a huge difference. And I always believe, you know, if you hear it from one person, there are 10 people behind that one person that didn't say anything.
Yeah,
they just, you know, they love it or they don't like it. Sometimes it's the comment that is you don't want to hear, but like, hey, Mara, I don't like that because of this. And you go, let me evaluate that. Okay, first of all, let me add 10 people to that.
Yeah.
Because I know there are 10 people who aren't saying that feel exactly the same way. So does that change how I'm going to handle this? Does that change how I'm going to impact people based on that? So anyway, enough said on that. I'm so glad you're doing that and that you get such great feelings for it. Like you just,
I
it
do.
Feels
and
good.
That's,
I know.
That's where I started, right? So as what you were saying is actually what I'm doing now. I learned entrepreneurship in order to make the thing. But I help creative minded people kind of organize all the ideas in their head so that they can communicate it out into the world so that other people that have the resources they need can help them to buy into the vision. So you're so right. And a lot of times they don't believe what you just said. And that is what we have to share with them.
Well, I think that's really powerful because I think a lot of creatives, we are very much in our heads, mm-hmm. right? We're very much in ourselves. We're very siloed. That's part of why Military CreatorCon exists, is so that we can come together, collaborate, work together, co-work in some cases, because, you know, working alone, that's just not how we were built.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, we don't always know how to communicate what's in there.
Yeah.
So I love that that's something you're helping people bring out so that those, you know, VCs and different people that could invest and sponsors, for instance, you know, to be fair, this is off track just slightly, but you know, it's tough with Military CreatorCon. We have great sponsors, mm-hmm. but it's hard when I was first going out for sponsorship to really communicate powerfully the impact that we were making and the impact we wanted to make.
Yeah.
So that to have that so that people would, you know, James calls it walk the dog, like go down that road with you and mm-hmm. understand and see your vision. Because if they don't see your vision, they're not going to buy in, right?
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, as you're speaking that, I tell folks, like, I'm not a coach, friend. Like what I'm doing brings in my creativity, my artistry, my storytelling, because we got to create context out for the person we're talking to so they understand the story we're about to tell. People call it a pitch, whatever, networking, whatever. That's the same thing we do as entertainers and storytellers. We're on this stage and we have a relationship and a commitment to our audience to take them on a journey that they want to be on. Right. You know what I mean? So
right now,
that's
right.
That's how I bring my creativity to this other space too.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that you're doing that. Let's talk a little bit more about your, if you don't mind, your military career.
Sure.
Because it's fascinating to me because, as you know, I call myself the pure civilian. I'm coining that phrase. The pure civilian. Grew up in Beverly Hills. Nowhere, no how was I anywhere near military folks. And then I married one. So tell me about that. How'd that start? Because you were so young and yet you were senior.
Yeah. Yes. So I went to college first and I got my bachelor's degree at the Temple University in Philadelphia. And I at 21, I moved to Miami after graduation, and I was on South Beach doing the thing.
Oh, I was just going to say, okay. I know Miami. I live down there. Yeah.
It was amazing. And about a year and a half of that, I was like, I'm done. Only sure you can't do this. You can't do this for the rest of your life. But what I realized, honestly, during that year and a half, I did apply for grad school and I got into public health school. But I realized I did everything my elders told me to do. Like, I got good grades. I had a scholarship. I did the things, everything. And I graduated and I was working, showing my age, $8 an hour.
Woo. Wow. That was a lot of money back then.
Okay. That was a lot of money back then. Because at school, I was making $4 an hour. So eight was like, ooh. But I was working with people that only had a high school diploma. I'm like, what happened to all these riches y'all said I was going to have? So I realized then that I have to do something different than what my elders told me to do, because it didn't take me to what they promised me or what I want. So at the time, my now my ex-husband, but my boyfriend, fiance, was going to the Army recruiter. We met in college, and he always said he was joining the Army. And I'm listening to what he's going to get and what's happening. And I was like, I come from a divorced family. I'm like, hold on, I only get this because we married? Mm-mm. So I was asking my own questions.
Right.
So I ended up enlisting. My recruiter said, Kim, I want you to take the test, but you don't actually have to go until you swear in the second time. So he got some credit because I was a college grad or whatever, and I had just taken the GRE, and my mother-in-law just taught me how to change oil and a tire. So I knew the mechanics stuff.
Yep.
So I got a pretty high score. And I think also because I had experience in life as a civilian kid growing up, I was able to negotiate getting the job as a mental health specialist or a newscaster, actually. While I saw kids coming in, like, I don't know, I was in his office for hours, but I saw kids coming in and out of the cubicle next to him getting other jobs. And I was like, I'm not signing nothing unless
until I get what I want.
And so mental health is what came up. I had to go away and come back. Do you know, friend, 2 weeks later, 9/11 happened. And I was like, well, damn.
I didn't know that.
So yeah. that's
James says that
I joined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, James says that he has a funny story because he's, you know, he got into the Air Force and he was like, I'm all about Top Gun. I want to play volleyball on the beach, ride a motorcycle, and have pretty girlfriends. Yeah, you know, that was like, he jokes at that was his, you know, motivator at that point. But he thought he'd go in and be in a couple of years, 4 years, maybe do electrical on airplanes and get out in 4 years and be an electrician with his grandfather. And next thing you know, 20 years later, 9/11 happened, deployment 11 times or whatever the heck he did. And life happens.
Listen, that is so common. And even the people that I talked to, it's like, you signed up 2 weeks before. I was like, yeah,
crazy.
That fiance crazy. Was in basic training and I was watching it on TV and like,
wow,
what did we just do?
What? Were you scared? Cause that's a scary thing. I think
crazy. I wasn't, I was scared for my family because I felt like I was going to be safe where I was going because I was joining the United States military, but my family wasn't. I grew up in New York. And so watching what was happening, my mom, when I was growing up, worked not too far past that. And I had friends that I grew up with that went to work on that side. So I was watching a lot happen. And I definitely had remember, I don't have to go until I swear in the last time. And I hadn't done that yet. And so I really had to think about, why am I going? Am I going? Do I have to go? Do I want to go? What other way can I do? And I realized, again, I didn't get everything I needed before. So I went because I had to do it by myself One, my mom couldn't go, was no boyfriend. I had to do it on my own. And I was going to be able to come out with more than I went in with, no matter what. And of course, nobody knows what mental health does. So whatever they told me wasn't true. But because I did all of it on deployment.
Well, and that's a, that I feel like that's a, also a very challenging discipline that you chose to do while you were in. I mean, it's valuable and on so many levels, but it is multi-layered. It's multi-leveled. Like we, you know, we know people. And well, I'm not putting myself out of this, who have PTSD. Now, mine was not from military service, but we know those people. We know those people who struggle, just have those struggles. And the fact that you use your creativity and you help in terms of mental health and you help people to communicate their visions, I just feel like what you're doing is tremendously valuable. And I want to thank you for two things, for doing that and also for your service.
So, thank you so much. It is really interesting. Actually, I will say, again, I was 22. What did I know? And I came in as an E4. So they thought I knew stuff. I knew nothing. Right. And I was starting life.
I don't mean to be rude to you 22-year-olds, but what do you know at 22? Like, let's be honest.
The 18-year-olds knew that were giving people IVs and shots that were in my unit. So I was the elder. But it was crazy because what I realized during my deployments, the average age of active service members is 19. That's also the age of the first mental health break or psychotic break. And then we're also in a pressure cooker called the military, another level on deployment. And so I realized most of who I was seeing weren't those people. Weren't the people that we're talking about now out. They were the people that had like adjustment disorders, meaning this is new and I have no coping skills. My sergeant is mad at me. And I'm like, friend, they don't even know your name other than it's on your shirt. You can't just go to work late and think no one's going to say something. That was on deployment, right? Yeah. So When I came out, I went to grad school, I focused on adolescent mental health because the kids weren't getting some of the things. And now we know they're millennials, but we won't talk badly about the millennials.
Are you sure? Because I could do that.
Okay.
I'm a Gen Xer, so I got my own issues.
I'm a latchkey kid. I'm a latchkey kid too. Like I'm a baby Xer, elder millennial. So I'm like that Xennial, whatever. So I could talk badly about them.
Yeah, that's great.
But honestly, they didn't have the effort factor that we grew up with.
Yeah.
And so when I got back and I did grad school, that's where I started in adolescent mental health because of my mental health experience in the military.
Right. That's really cool because I think that it's interesting because I don't understand and I never was blessed with children. So the people who know me know that. and I don't know which came first, my like desire to not have children or my desire to like, you know, cause like, I'm like, yeah, I don't want kids, but I think the fact that I couldn't have kids might've come first, you know, it's like the chicken and the egg. You kind of convince yourself that you don't want to have kids cause you can't. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's interesting that the difference is, and that's maybe a sociological issue versus a mental health issue, but the difference is between the way we all grew up. Mm-hmm. Like generationally, it's very different from how I grew up, maybe how you grew up, how James grew up, other people as they get younger and younger. And I hang out with my girlfriend and her 10-year-old and her 7-year-old and how they get raised. I'm like, oh man,
yeah,
I would
it's
never
different,
be
different.
Able to say that to my mama.
Yeah, it's different, different.
Mm-hmm. My mom's like, if I can move this little finger, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. I was so scared of her.
That is so funny. Yeah, you're right. It is all the things human design that is now my nerd flag, psychology, sociology, metaphysics. I do all the things that are human understanding. And it does play a role. It does play a role into how we show up in the world and how we navigate.
So now I'm going to ask you a question. Knowing all of that you've just mentioned of what your capabilities are and what you do in terms of helping visionaries to verbalize what they do so that they can have investment from others to buy into their gifts and their creativity and use their creativity really to tell stories and engage people. Knowing all that, why are you coming to Military CreatorCon?
Girl, because those are my people. Like when I had a girlfriend tell me about it, she told me, hey, I found this thing my coach is telling me about, but girl, this is you. You need to be here. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I read it. I was like, these are my people. They are creatives. We're weird. And as veterans, we're weird. And entrepreneurs, we're weird. And I'm an entertainer. I was like, but I don't want to talk. I want to be an MC. That's my favorite thing to do.
We're grateful that you are, because Russ Barnes is one of your mentors who is one of on our board of advisors. He's amazing. And he's going to be there. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there, whether I want to or not. I'm just kidding. Of course, I don't need to. I'm super excited. I want to thank you for being with me. Thank you for spending all the time you did and sharing with us your life, who you are, and why they should come out to Military CreatorCon to see you.
Definitely. Please come out and see us. Thank you very much for your time too, Mara, and what you're doing.
Oh, love you so much.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.